Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. That's our scripture text for today. And I'm going to base our meditation from that verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. If you are there, let's read together. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's look to God in prayer. Almighty God, thy word is thy truth. Thy word is our wisdom. The promises which we want to achieve in our lives for our own good and blessing are in thy word. And as we pray this morning, as we come together to study this verse, we pray that you may send thy light and thy truth into our hearts, that we may understand the word of God. Lord, we pray for righteousness. Thou hast clothed us with the righteousness of Christ, and we thank God for that. But we want also, Lord, that you may change our lives according to thy righteousness, that we may be truthful to the great call which thou hast given to us. We pray, Lord, that you will bless the preacher, that you may help him to declare thy word faithfully. And we pray that you may speak to him, that he may be able to expound thy truth clearly for thy people. We pray for every one of us, that you may cast away any thought that is not going to help us in the meditation of thy word. O Lord, we need your grace. We pray that you may speak to us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For as long as you live in this world, I'm sure you are bound to discriminations. Money, education, and race are often used to discriminate others. Those who have more money are separated from the poor. Those that have more education tend to separate themselves from those who can't understand what they are talking. And those who are blessed with a white skin, though they come empty in this world, they tend to have a skin that wraps some gift with them, that even though they come empty like everybody else, they are really privileged. This is how the world works. But we have nothing much to worry, even though we don't have much of these things. We don't need to complain to our parents that they don't have the skin that we want, or the status in the society. For one day, the great shepherd of the sheep is going to divide this world, and he himself and his division is more important than any discrimination of men. And I want us to read Matthew 25. I'm not going to preach this text, but I hope to use this text as a springboard for our meditation today. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 25, verse 31. These things are about to come, and this is what is going to happen in the future. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and he gave me meat. For I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Notice verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and feed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and he gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and he took me not in, naked, and he clothed me not, sick and in prison, and he visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. I hope you will take note of that word righteous and connect that with our main text today. For the Lord Jesus said, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. My brethren, righteousness is more important than anything else. More valuable than money, more valuable than education, more valuable than our skin or our stature or pedigree. And so I want to remind every one of us about this truth. Because righteousness will be the basis that God will use to divide this world. And that division is very important, because after that is eternity. And where will you be, my friends? Will you be outside the door or inside? That's what our children sing. There are two sides. They wonder, why are you on the other side or inside? And I hope that you will pray for me as we study this verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Christ promised that those who will hunger and thirst after righteousness will lead a blessed life. When you think about a blessed life, it simply means a happy life. Friends, isn't it the thing that we want in life? Don't you want to be happy? For if life is not happy, I think we are living like hell on earth. And we will have difficulty to move on in life. We want to be happy because we are not only creatures of logic, but we are also creatures of emotion. But the problem is, on top of this, we are also creatures of assumptions. David himself prayed, Lord, deliver me from my presumptuous sins. We tend to think that material good can make us happy. So as a child, we saw ourselves growing up and we pressure our parents to buy the whole department store if possible for ourselves, because we think to have plenty of toys will make us happy. But soon we realize these little things become boring to us. We chuck them aside, we throw them away, because really these toys didn't make us happy. As we grow up, we also tend to think that friends can make us happy. So when we reach the adolescent stage, we think that our parents are not wise enough to tell us, hey, select your friends. We did not separate from ungodliness, from ungodly friends. We thought that there's really no need to separate the two, and we didn't bother whether what our parents are telling us makes sense to us. We just long to have more friends regardless of what they believe in. Soon we realize that our parents are still right. Friends and godly friends caused havoc in our lives. They taught us to commit sin and more sin. They taught us to lie and to become covetous, to become worldly. And I'm sure all of us, or many of us, are still paying the consequences of those sins when we were young. Oh my friend, we still haven't learned. As we grow up, we tend to think that a life partner will surely make us happy. So when we become young adults, when we saw this beautiful girl, or for girls, when they saw this promising man, even though nobody agrees with them, but they say beauty lies in the beholder, so I don't care, I think this girl or this man can make me happy. And so they go for it, they throw away the biblical principles which they say is only good for Sunday school. Now I know better, I've learned more things, it's good for children. Brethren, I have been in the ministry for 3 years. Though this is very short, I had two ladies in the ministry who married ungodly men. They thought they were promising, but they brought them tears day and night. One of the husbands is in jail now because he has murdered someone. She is alone. In her desperate need to have a companion, she finds herself into many kinds of illicit relationship. Is she happy? She is not. She couldn't be happy. She will not be happy. Let us not test God, my friends. Some of us still have not learned our presumptuous sins. We think that career, money, and power can make us happy. Well, I think some of us in the congregation are older than me. And some of you have been in the, have managed to rise up in the ladder of career or career life. I didn't have the chance to work for so long. After 7 years of working in the world, the Lord has called me into the ministry, so I can't say I managed to have to experience success in my career, but I'm sure some of you did, and some of you are doing it now, experiencing it now. But may I ask you, are you happy? Uncles and aunties, are you happy? Did your position in the bank, in the multinational firm, make you happy? My brethren, let us repent from presumptuous sins. Let us learn today. And for young people, you do well to yourself if you learn early that only Jesus can make you happy. Only Jesus can make you glad. Only Jesus can make our lives a blessed one. And as Christ, when he saw the multitude coming to him, he pronounced these words, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, my friends, happiness only come to those who seek for righteousness. I repeat, happiness only come to those who seek for righteousness. If you don't seek for Christ, if you want to be outside Christ, you will have nothing but sorrow and pain in the world, my brethren. Christ make no apology in declaring this truth. This is as what we say, blanket blanket, decree from the Lord, because God makes no mistake. So let us pay attention to this. And I hope that as you listen to the exposition of God's word, you will desire to be more righteous as the Lord enable you. Friends, how is it that in Christ we are destined to be happy? Well, the first thing is, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He clothes us with His righteousness. That's the first thing. The Bible reveals to us how our loved ones who are in heaven enjoy this righteousness. The Bible tells us that our loved ones in heaven now are clothed with that white robe that is clean and perfect. Something that has no impurity in it. That robe that they have is the robe that Jesus Christ gave to them. And when you read the scriptures, and when you particularly notice all these occasions whereby the saints of God are portrayed to us in the scriptures, you see them singing. You see them happily enjoying the state of life that God has given to them. They are in the paradise of God. A place of happiness. No sadness, no tears, no anger whatsoever, my friends. A place of contentment. A place where they have found happiness. But in this world, happiness play hide and seek with us. We keep looking for it, longing for it, but it runs away from us. The closer we think we get to it, the farther it runs away, my friends. And so let us remember this, that happiness only can come to us if Christ brings it to us. By clothing us with His righteousness, we become happy because Christ is the unspeakable gift. Christ is the gift of God. And when we think about this gift, we know that we don't deserve the gift. Because we are utterly sinful. There is nothing good in us. If God will leave us alone, we will rebel against God. And that's the only thing that we know we can do. So we thank God that despite of how sinful we are, the Lord was pleased to save us from our sins. And this is only the beginning of greater happiness that is to come in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we seek after righteousness, when we live according to His word, the Bible tells us more things to come. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Lord Jesus said, "Seek ye first after the kingdom of God," or "seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The things that we need in life will come to us. My friends, I hope you will pay attention to what the psalmist says in Psalm 127, that there is such a thing as bread of sorrow. Bread of sorrow. A person may wake up too early or sleep too late because he wants to amass himself with the material things. Oh yes, he will have it. Because there is a natural law called that tells us what you sow, you will reap. So if you work hard, you will reap. But when you go beyond what God allows us to do, when you become too workaholic to the point that you have no more time for God, you will have plenty of bread in your home, but the Bible says that is a bread of sorrow. You can't enjoy it because of the too much stress that plagues your mind. Those of us who don't have much I call you to pray for your brothers and sisters who have much, because they have more problems than us with the economy in the world that is really very much volatile. I don't think many of them can sleep. If you manage to save up $100,000, you think you have 175 Singapore dollars in equivalent in those days. But when you look at the conversion rate, what happened? The US dollars that you save up become 1.20 or 1.21, 1.25. My friends, you have lost 50,000 Singapore hard-earned dollars. 50,000 Singapore dollars. It's no joke. It's very painful. And our Bible also tells us that they have more temptations because they have more money to buy sin. And money brings them around to see the wonder of the world, the glory of the world, and so they are tempted with more. Oh, how blessed it is to be poor, my friends, really. Because you are taken away from such pain, such temptations. After all, you don't have money to go to these places, so it's fine with us. But having said that, we also long for our daily things. We also want to have the things that we need in life. Oh, there is a great joy when you think that God is the one who will add it to you. And when God gives it to you, He gives it to you joyfully, and you enjoy it, you take it with a great joy, and you praise the Lord. Some of our brethren, because they have been working so hard, are in sickness. They couldn't take care of their health. They have cancers, they have hypertension, they have all sorts of problems. The body is giving up. Because when they were young, they pushed it too much. They thought that body is made up of steel and rock. But when they grow, they realize that body is made up of flesh and bones. It is so gentle. Brethren, seek after righteousness. Seek after righteousness, and you will find happiness in life because of the fact that God will provide for you. There is much joy to know that it's the Lord who takes care of me. There is no need to panic that economic crisis is coming because the Lord takes care of me, because the Lord promises for His kindness for me. And that brings me to the next verse I want to read from Psalm 36 verse 10. The Bible says, "Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart." When you think about His promise that He is going to provide for you, and when you think of another promise that He will continually abide with you to give you His loving kindness, wow! You can sleep. You will have a good sleep. And Reverend Toh once said, sleep is a gift from God. Are you able to sleep? Are you able to sleep? Oh, thank the Lord if you can sleep. But if there are too many fears in our minds and in our hearts, my friends, it's hard to sleep. You can have a lot of tonic. You can take essence of chicken or deer essence or whatever those things are. Well, those are good for the body. But there is no better than sleep. Even if you can buy the best food in town, sleep brings better rest to our bodies than all these things. So there is much joy and comfort when we think about God, who will continually give us His loving kindness. Another thing that I see in the scripture is God's deliverance. Psalm 71 verse 2 tells us, "Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me." In this world, we have many enemies. Sometimes it is sad that members of the family become our enemies. Our siblings sometimes become our enemies. When our parents die, there is a problem on which one is mine and which one is yours. And sometimes we forget that we come out from the same womb, and we share the same family. We have enemies. We have enemies from within our own sins. Our tendency to commit sin is also our enemy. We are close in the body called the body of death. This is our enemy. And I've been thinking about the mouth. When you study the Bible, you don't hear so much good things about the mouth. The Bible tells us that the tongue is the world of iniquity. And I also tend to think that the mouth tends to eat and eat more than the body needs. And I'm struggling with that. To control my intake really is a big burden, but I have to, because I'm not getting healthy. Oh, it's good to eat and keep eating, isn't it? We are deceived sometimes by our own body. Our body wants to look slim and petite, and so sometimes we don't want to eat. I become too much a burden that we can't enjoy God's blessings as well. My brethren, we need deliverance. Deliverance from our enemies. When you seek after righteousness, God's promises, He will deliver you. He will cause you to escape. Two more things about the promises of righteousness, the blessings of righteousness, the rewards of righteousness is God's guidance. If you may want to write down this verse, I say it for you. Proverbs 11 verse 5, the Bible says, "The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteous of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness." We are living in a world of too many confusion. We need guidance from God. There are people that come to us and present to us as if they are holy and righteous, and that's what the elder prayed. How to discern who is good and who is bad? When everybody appears the same, when everybody clean their face and shave their mustache, when they look handsome, when they dress well, when they have this Christian culture of greeting one another, of saying, "I pray for you, God bless you. Hope to see you again. I'm praying for you, my friend." All these things. Oh, we need guidance. When you seek after righteousness, the Lord will direct your way. The wicked will fall by his own wickedness, by his own naughtiness. But for us, we shall be safe, because the Lord is with us. And not only this, we also have the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, will exalt us. In Psalm 89 verse 16, "In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted." You see, my friends, when you think about the word righteousness, God is righteous. And what does it mean to think about righteousness? Righteousness means anything that pleases God. Anything that God is happy to do. And God is happy to do to bless His people. God is excited to fill you and fill me with His goodness, with His blessings, with His grace. Even before we were created, We were formed. God already was thinking about us, that He blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Before we had life, God has already planned a life for us, a wonderful, and eventually it will lead us into heaven's glory, and we shall be exalted to sit at the right hand side of Christ, or even on His throne. That's what He promised. You will be where I am. You will sit with me. That is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you excited with all these things? The world don't care about righteousness. They are hungry. They are thirsty for something else. They are thirsty for material gain and material things. And I want to be explicit today. They are hungry for sex and for lust. And that drives them. They will go around the world. They will visit any place that they think will give them pleasure. But the question is, did they find happiness? Are they enjoying their lives? Friends, Christ cannot be wrong. Christ said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." What is it that drives you in your life, my friends? What caused you to do that which you are doing today? I trust it is happiness. I mean, it is righteousness. Because righteousness is the one that can bring you happiness in life. Now, I hope after going through with me about the blessings of righteousness, the importance of righteousness, I hope that seated as you are, you will pray, "Lord, tell me the old story." And I was listening to the choir. They keep saying, "Tell me the old story." I said, "Wait for me, I'll tell you the old story." You want to know the old story, isn't it? And I was blessed to keep on repeating that. "Tell me, tell me, tell me." And when the altar sings, "Tell me the old story," I said, "Wow, praise the Lord." The resonance of the altar section was a great joy in my heart. Well, how to attain righteousness? Firstly, as what I have preached in the early stage of the message, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a complicated religion. It is simple. It is us who make our life complicated and difficult, that we hardly can manage it. Christ, my friends, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ preached this message in the early stages of His ministry. He was setting a platform to tell the Israelites that His ministry is different from the ministry of the Pharisees. It was in a time where unrighteousness was reigning in Israel because of the false teachers who preached the false gospel. So Christ pronounced the Sermon of the Mount, and in the beginning stage of the Sermon of the Mount, you have the Beatitudes. Christ has this burden. If you look at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, He had a burden. He knew these people were not happy. They were trying to find happiness, but they couldn't have it. They were desperate people. Christ pronounced this beatitude. If you were one of them, who didn't mind to walk under the heat of the sun, to follow after Christ, who didn't mind whether you have something to eat. What matters to you was what Christ will say. And then when Christ opens His word with the blessed, the word blessed, to open His message, to open His preaching, and He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." What would you feel, my friends, when Christ promises you a blessed life? Those who did not take Christ lightly responded, and they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you want to believe in Him today as well? You have come into this place who know deep in your heart that you don't have Christ in you. You come here because you want to pay respect to someone who has been inviting you for many times, and so you are here. Well, thank God you are here. But I hope you will take this message that only Jesus can make you happy. No man, no woman, no mother, no father, no children, no career, no anything, no nothing can make us happy other than Christ Himself. Isn't it a simple message? I trust that you will receive Christ and make Him the Lord of your righteousness. He is the Lord of our righteousness. That's not the end, my brethren. When you look at the text, when Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness," this is an idiomatic expression. An idiomatic expression to tell us that we must have a strong desire to attain a certain thing in life which we know we are lacking. I repeat, when Christ said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness," is an idiomatic expression to tell us that we should desire something in life which we know we are lacking. I do not think there is a Christian who can really say, "I am fully faithful to Christ my Lord." I think every genuine believer laments in his heart that he is not faithful to God, that he is not living up to the mark, up to the expectation of Christ. How quick he loses his temper. How quick he mismanages his blessings. How forgetful he is of what are the things that he must give his life into. And thus the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Friends, when you look at the outer garment that you have, you have this white robe in you, though you're not in heaven, but you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. When you look at that, and we look at what is inside, you see a disparity. You see there's a difference. We are clothed with the beautiful garment of Christ, and thus we wake up early in the morning when the rest of our neighbors are still sleeping. We bring our tithes and offerings when the rest don't understand what is going on. We give our life to serve the Lord because we long for that inheritance or that eternal reward in heaven when the rest don't bother about this. We have this righteousness that Christ has given to us so freely. But when we look at our life, we realize it doesn't match. And so, all the more, we must desire for this righteousness. We need to learn more. So we want to study His Word, because His Word, the Bible says, the Word of God is the Word of His righteousness. You see, righteousness is not in us. It's not inherent in our lives. It is external. Righteousness is not in this world. If there's anything that you can see in this world, it is corruption. This is a fallen world lived by fallen men, controlled and guided and led by fallen creatures. Righteousness is above the earth, and that is in the heavens above. We need to look up to God, and we praise God. We don't need to be Gnostics, because God has given us His Word, and we have it in our hands. And we can read it, and we understand what it means to be righteous, because God has revealed His truth so plainly that even the primary students can understand what God requires from them. He has given us the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds to understand His truth. This is God's blessings. The Word of God, the Bible, is the Word of His righteousness. And so we want to learn more from it. We want to attend FABC night classes. We want to come for Sunday schools. We want to attend fellowship groups. What is it all about, my brethren? Is it only to entertain ourselves? A lot of people think entertainment is in the charismatic churches. May I say very humbly, entertainment also comes in the fundamental churches. When the pastor preached with all his heart, when he presented his arguments so well, we also become entertained. And we leave the place and say, wow, that was a good sermon. Oh, praise God for that. But does it stop there? Or does it change our life? Let it be, my brethren, that our motivation to study the Word of God is His righteousness. It caused me to cry when I think about members of the churches who have been in the church for 20 years and that their life are still the same. Those who have problems with anger are still easily angered. Those who have a problem with patience cannot still give patience to others. What is going on with us? So much scholarship. But where is spirituality? Brethren, you must hunger and thirst after righteousness. You must confess before the Lord that there is something lacking in you. As much as I confess too, that there is so much lacking in me. And the Lord will fill us with more of His righteousness. This is the promise of Jesus Christ. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God will bless us. God will work in our lives. God will change us. That problem of anger, God will deal with that. God will take it away from you. God will deliver you. God will make you a meek man possible. You remember Moses? He was such a hard-tempered man. He was a murderer, my brethren. He killed one of the Egyptians. But what did God do in his life? God changed him that he became the meekest of all men next to Christ. But that won't go to you or to me if our motive in the study of God's word is not righteousness. You can come to church every Sunday, every prayer meeting. Well, it's good to come. We must come. It's the fourth commandment. We must keep the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. But we are missing the point if we are not coming for righteousness. Are you crying deep in your hearts as you listen to this message? Are you crying? Are you praying, Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I'm thirsty for righteousness. Jesus said, I can satisfy you because I'm the bread that comes from heaven. I have the living water that can quench your thirst. If you read Isaiah 55, he even brings them more than water. He talks to them about milk and about wine, signifying more blessings to come. My brethren, the Bible calls us to follow after righteousness. And if really righteousness is something that sets our mind, sets the goal for our mind, if we are really following after righteousness, if there's nothing that can make us happy or contented other than righteousness, then your life will be guided by righteousness. If your work will prohibit you to live in that righteousness, you will quit. If friendship will prohibit you, if your friends will bring you to the wrong places, you will quit that friendship. If that business, even if it will bring you more money, but if it tempts you to sin against God, if it holds you back from coming to church, you will quit. You will not think twice about it. You will refuse the pressure of the world to cause you to sin. Because what matters to you is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a culture, and wherever you go, there is a culture that hinders us from walking in the Lord. When you see all these boys and girls hugging one another in the MRT or anywhere, do you think it doesn't transform the thinking of our children who are growing up? They will tend to think it's okay. It's a culture anyway. We are no longer in the Victorian age. What is our culture? Our culture must be decided, groomed by the Word of God. So friends, what is it that hungers you? What is it that you want to have in your life? If it is not righteousness, may I say very humbly, it cannot make you happy, whatever it is. It will bring more sorrow and pain. It will bring you farther from God. So let us set our eyes upon this righteousness. The more you desire to be righteous, the happier you become. The nearer you realize, the more you realize that you are nearer to heaven, to Christ coming, the more joy your heart is, joyful your heart is. Last Saturday, I decided to go for exercise in the morning. Well, I've not been exercising for so long, so I decided to walk first. And then I went to Bishan Stadium, which is near our place. So I walked, and I just walked. And after some time, I realized there's a marker that sets the finishing line, the finish line. As I look at it and just keep looking at it, I realized I was becoming more happy as I get nearer to it. I didn't plan to think that way, but I just look at it and I just keep on walking and walking, and the more I bring myself nearer to it, the more happy I was. That caused me to think about the new heavens and the new earth. If our eyes are really set upon Christ, His glory, His promises, His inheritance, and the things that the Lord wants to give to us, if our eyes are set upon the things in heaven, when you look around what is going on around the world, you only become happy. Oh, Jesus is coming. But if not, you will say, Lord, I'm not yet married. Don't come so soon, Lord. Lord, I haven't seen my grandchild. Don't come so soon, Lord. Lord, I'm not yet promoted. Don't come so soon, Lord. Oh, my friends, I hope that this word which the Lord has pronounced will give us wisdom, that we may be saved from troubles. We may be saved from the confusion in this world. The whole world is hungry and thirsty after many other things. They are not thirsty, they are not hungry after righteousness. You don't care about that. But you, Christian, you must be hungry. You must be thirsty. Righteousness must be the goal that you want to reach. So as you sojourn yourself in this world, look at that. And anything that will drift you away or confuse you, my friends, don't allow that to come into you. And God will fulfill His promise. God has not lied. And God will never lie. And God is faithful. And God will make you a happy person for the rest of your life and for all eternity. May it be, my friends, that you and I are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, give us the wisdom that we need, O Lord. Help us not to envy the world. In our scripture text, David pronounced that we should not envy when the world amass themselves, when they flourish, because it is in that that they shall be destroyed forever. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may work in every one of us, that this word might work in our hearts and transform us, that we may see a change in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.